Suffolk Site News.
Suffolk Site News.
Welcome to the Autumn and Winter 2025 and 2026 edition of Suffolk Site News. Contents. Message from Jeff Staff, Chair of Trustees. Suffolk Site Equipment and Information Day. Fundraising Roundup. Behind the scenes at Portman Road. Social Club Roundup. A heartfelt thank you to our volunteers. Access Technology. Sailing with Jim and John's Art. Looking ahead, emotional support. Volunteer Ambassador Update. Eye Conditions Explained, Stargardt Disease. Catch up on stories, activity updates and other news. Image shows the 15 people that make up the Suffolk Site team gathered on the lawn at St. Edmundsbury Cathedral after this year's successful Equipment and Information Day.
Our cover photos for this edition include members playing boccia, Juliet modelling her beer festival apron, Kevin, Sam and Trisha at an outreach event, MP Jess Asato and Jeff and Meg at our volunteer thank you event, and finally, Michael with the Lions mascot at the fun day. The studio readers of this edition are me, I'm Kate from the office, and also my son William, as it is Take Your Child to Work Day.
What a busy spring and summer it's been. As you read through the many articles in this bumper edition of Suffolk Site News, you will appreciate how busy our team of staff, volunteers and trustees have been, spreading the message of the services and care we offer to you, our treasured beneficiaries. Suffolk Site Yellow has been seen in abundance across the county, not only promoting the charity itself, but raising funds as well to continue to ensure that we can support those with sight loss in future. In some instances, the colours attracted unwelcome but friendly visitors in the form of a loveliness of ladybirds at the hut in Felixstowe. We have a fantastically dedicated and caring team who always go the extra mile in everything that they do, for which I and the trustees are not only grateful, but amazed by the application and heartened by the results. You will read moving, real-life stories of the difference we are making to people's lives. If you're one of the lucky people or a member of one of our clubs, then I'd ask you to raise a glass at your Christmas celebration event to the Suffolk Site team, and I wish you all seasonal best wishes. Below, I've selected some of the images that show Suffolk Site Yellow at various events. Jeff Staff, Chair of Trustees.
Suffolk Site Equipment and Information Day, Bury St Edmunds. We were very lucky with the weather this year, and everyone was able to enjoy the beautiful surroundings of St Edmundsbury Cathedral on a summer's day. We had an incredible turnout with 108 people attending. We were joined by Tech Supplies Humanware, Optilec, VisionAid and Edward Marcus Limited. Local charities and organisations in attendance were New Medica Suffolk, Sensing Change, Bury St Edmunds Library, Healthwatch Suffolk, the Rural Coffee Caravan, and the Suffolk, Norfolk and East Essex Diabetic Eye Screening Team. We received some very positive feedback from members of the public and the exhibitors following the event. The Rural Coffee Caravan team said, "Thank you so much for inviting us. It was so lovely to find out about the services that you provide too. It's fantastic old school support in the community. We look forward to working with you in the future." The 2026 Equipment and Information Day will be held in Ipswich. All of the details will be published in our next newsletter. Image shows attendees of the Equipment and Information Day in the Edmund Room of St Edmundsbury Cathedral.
It has just been confirmed that our 2026 Equipment and Information Day will be held on Tuesday, the 9th of June, in the Key Cafe in Ipswich. We'll include more information in the next edition of the newsletter. Fundraising Roundup. Over the summer, we were very grateful to our supporters who organised fundraising activities to benefit our charity. Matthew Rawlings ran the Kirtling Marathon in Newmarket on Sunday, the 11th of May. Matthew found out that a close family friend had been supported by our community workers after they lost their sight, and he told us, "Eva was diagnosed with leukemia in 2020 and has been on a painful journey with this. It looked like things were going well, but recently she had a setback to her recovery. The charity have been with her and her family from the beginning, at diagnosis, and then through the whole journey, providing information and helping them cope and adapt to the changing situation. It was a fantastic effort by Matthew on a challenging hot day and a very hilly route to complete. Matthew raised a fantastic £786. The photo on this page shows Wendy receiving a cheque for £786 from Matt. A big thank you to the Village Store in Ipswich, who have supported Suffolk Sight by hosting one of our collection tins. Over the last 2 years, customers have given very generously and managed to raise over £500, which is incredible. Al Harris organised a charity football match. Al said, "A few years ago, I lost a lot of my sight due to an aggressive form of glaucoma. And after having 3 major operations to save what sight I had left, I didn't know where to turn. I was pointed in the direction of the charity Suffolk Sight, and I'm extremely grateful for the support I have received from them. I wanted to give something back." The match took place on Sunday the 11th of May at Bury Town Football Club. The game was played in good spirits, which matched the atmosphere of the whole afternoon. Al didn't have a target in mind, but he was thrilled to report that with online donations and money taken on the day, the event raised a total of £1,038.77. As a small independent charity, we do not receive any government funding and are completely reliant on donations and funds raised by our wonderful supporters. So we really can't thank you all enough. If you would like to make a donation, take on a challenge, or provide a location for one of our collection tins, please get in touch.
Seeing Yellow Everywhere at this year's East Anglian Beer and Cider Festival by Jeff Staff, Suffolk Sight were chosen as one of a select number of charities to benefit from the proceeds raised by the East Anglian Beer and Cider Festival 2025. We responded by providing a record number of volunteers who were decked out in Suffolk Sight branded bright yellow t-shirts, which were highly visible over the 6 days of the festival. We also contributed to a first for the festival, and probably a first for any festival. We had our very own Kevin Ramsey serve beer. Never before has somebody who is blind served at an event like this, let alone for 6 continuous days. Because it was such a special achievement, it raised a lot of local media interest. Image shows Kevin behind the showcase bar. Radio Suffolk were the first to contact us. Originally, we had planned a couple of shorter shifts for Kevin so that he could be eased into what would be a tiring schedule of over 30 hours working behind the showcase bar in St. Edmundsbury Cathedral. However, Radio Suffolk wanted a live chat with Kevin on the first day of the festival, which meant meeting for an interview with Luke Deal at 7 a.m. in the Cathedral car park. Later, after 2 interviews, a general introduction to the layout of the event and some practice pouring, Kevin and I were ready to meet the first customers. Our shift ended at 7 p.m. What was supposed to be a soft, less tiring start turned out to be entirely the opposite. The media interest continued into the second day with the recording of a piece for Look East, which was shown later in the week. How did this all come about? Kevin had expressed his wish to be involved with the beer festival for a number of years. Initially, we weren't as creative in our thinking as we might have been. However, with Chris McCausland showing that he could win Strictly Come Dancing, surely we could come up with a way for Kevin to serve beer. The first attempt involved modifying 3 liquid level indicators so that they would be triggered when they reached the third, half and full pint measures. What we hadn't appreciated is that the head of the beer would trigger the buzz of the indicator, which meant that at best a customer would end up with about 3/4 of a pint rather than the full measure, which obviously wouldn't go down well. Nothing worse than a short pint at a beer festival. So Kevin and I agreed a countdown system. Well, I took the voucher value of the beer and watched over Kevin pouring. I counted down from 3 to the required measure. What was surprising to me was that after the first day, Kevin began to sense when the beer reached the asked for measure and started saying stop at exactly the same time as I did, without the need for counting down. Image shows Kevin serving beer to Joe Hawes, Dean of St. Edmundsbury Cathedral. It brought home to me that a key thing I've realised since being involved with the Suffolk Sight is that those of us who are blessed with good sight need to be open to the fact that, perhaps with minor adjustments, those who experience sight loss to any degree can do much more than we might first expect, and we need to spend time and effort being more creative in finding solutions to the challenges faced by those who are visually impaired. I know that our community workers do this for our beneficiaries on a daily basis. So far, I've singled out Kevin's contribution, but he was one of a team of our volunteers who helped out in multiple capacities over the 6 days, putting in significant hours and lots of hard work, which we believe will result in us receiving a record share of the proceeds. Above all, it was great fun, and it made me proud to see an extensive peppering of yellow. A huge thank you to our amazing volunteers. You poured, you smiled, you hustled, and together we raised funds and boosted the profile of our charity. Your hard work has made a lasting impact, and I'm so proud to work alongside such fantastic people. This couldn't have happened without you. Thank you from our volunteer coordinator, Agnieszka Jeffrey. Images show four of our many fantastic volunteers showing off their Suffolk Site yellow t-shirts.
The full radio interview can be heard at the end of this audio newsletter, with thanks to BBC Radio Suffolk.
Behind the scenes at Portman Road. In an unforgettable experience, a group of our visually impaired members took to the pitch and beyond at Portman Road, the home of Ipswich Town Football Club. Our beneficiaries immersed themselves in the rich history of the club, guided by knowledgeable and passionate tour guides, Blake and Pete. The highlights of the tour included access to the director's box, the home and away dressing rooms, and the manager's office. The group also had the chance to sit in the home dugout and walk through the tunnel, echoing the footsteps of their favourite players. The tour concluded with a visit to the Hall of Fame and the press conference room. A huge thank you to Ipswich Town Football Club for their hospitality and support in making this event a success. We're already looking forward to the next adventure. We have two photographs on this page. They show the Suffolk Site team in the very blue changing room and the terraces at Portman Road. Social Club Roundup. We're delighted to share a roundup of some of the highlights of our recent Social Club activities, and what a busy few months it's been. Our clubs continue to grow stronger, bringing people with sight loss together for laughter and lasting friendships. It was a pleasure to receive some very positive feedback regarding one of our social groups. Mum has only this year started to go along to your local social club, and what a difference it has made to her life. We speak to Mum on the phone every day, and every time she has been to one of your events, she is absolutely buzzing. She loves the coffee mornings, meals in pubs, the quizzes, and the trips out, such as the summer one to Felixstowe. Having lost her husband, our stepdad, at the very beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and because we weren't allowed to visit, she spent a lot of time alone. Mum is a sociable person, so found this hard. Then her sight started deteriorating to the point where she was registered blind. And when the world opened up again, she had lost a bit of her confidence in going out and about and meeting new people. It is very hard for her to recognise people or remember names, not having much visually to work on. This doesn't seem to matter with your group. She has been welcomed in, and your staff take such good care of her, including phoning to check that she knows the dates and times of the next meeting. This is very helpful as she can no longer see her calendar. What a difference your services make. Mum is more like her old self, happy and chatty. She always says what a laugh you all have. We wanted to let you know that you make Mum and her family very happy. Thank you for your warm welcome and for taking care of her. She is precious to us. Musical Lifelines. Our Beckles and Bungay Social Club had the pleasure of welcoming Caroline from Musical Lifelines. Caroline is a classical violinist and music educator, and set up the Creative Music Project to help tackle loneliness and support people living with long-term health conditions in the community. The poster, shown here on this page, promotes the free music workshops. Caroline will visit homes in Bungay, Beckles, and Halesworth. every Friday in term time between 10:30 a.m. till 12 noon, you can also go along to the Bungay Community Centre. Carers are welcome, refreshments are provided and transport upon request. For more information, call 07920 063244 or email clarkcaroline@live.co.uk, and Caroline's surname, Clark, has an E on the end. 2026 Suffolk Site Large Print Calendars and Diaries. We have the following calendars and diaries in stock. Please call the office if you would like one to be sent to you. The A3 Wall Calendar, and this has a suggested donation of £5. The A6 Pocket Diary, which costs £6.50. The A5 MIDI Diary for £8.50. Or the A4 Desk Diary for £10.50. A firm favourite on the Social Club calendar is a trip to the Hut in Felixstowe. The following is an account from volunteer Meg Staff after a visit this summer. It's called, "Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside." This popular British music hall song from the early 1900s and signature tune of the resident organist at the Blackpool Tower Ballroom encapsulates our feelings of all loving to be beside the sea, listening to children playing in the sand, waves crashing on the shore, gathering shells, eating fish and chips and ice cream. The Hut, run by the Felixstowe Old People's Welfare Association, situated on the Felixstowe Promenade, allowed members from the Bury and the Ipswich groups to do just that this summer. Lots of fun, laughter and chat was had by all, including a walk along the promenade in the sunshine, accompanied by a loveliness of ladybirds who seem to adore travelling with us, particularly for those of us wearing yellow T-shirts. But none of this can happen without a lot of support. So our thanks go to all the volunteers that helped make the day so special, to Dan's coaches for enabling us to have such a smooth journey, even with the Orwell Bridge closed, and to the Oddfellows, the Bury St Edmunds branch, for a financial donation which helped to fund this great event. A grand day out, recommended for all. And the photographs here on this page show members of the Bury and Ipswich groups enjoying fish and chips at the Hut.
Shotley Club. Suffolk Site were invited to attend the South Suffolk Seniors Fair, hosted by James Cartledge, MP. The fair brought together a mix of statutory and voluntary organisations with lots of information, advice and support that is available for the over 65s. Jean and Pat, our fantastic volunteers from the Shotley Club, attended and said it was an excellent morning all round and well worth the effort. We've had lots of interest in the club, from people wanting to attend and some volunteer interest too. The club have a full calendar of events planned for 2026, including the music from Bob Whiting and Brian and Pauline Cann. They also have a talk from Brian Thurlow in his guise as Billy Jackson from Bethnal Green, with his talk entitled "We'll Meet Again, Experiences of His Evacuation to a Suffolk Farm Just Prior to the Second World War." Image shows Jean and Pat with the Suffolk Site information stand.
Suffolk Site Juniors. In May, the Suffolk Site Juniors enjoyed a visit to Christchurch Mansion, facilitated by duty officer Liz Bowell. The session focused on toys from the past and the present, comparing the types of toys played with in the past to those from the present, and also talking about the materials they were made from then and now. The children were lucky enough to be able to handle teddies, dolls, and bricks from over 100 years ago. Our families all said what an interesting and educational morning it was. Huge thanks to Liz for the time and thought she put into making the session so interactive and enjoyable for the children. We have been invited to get involved in the Christmas Tree Festival at the Mansion this year, so do go along and find our tree. The festival runs from the 25th of November until the 5th of January. And the photographs on this page show Liz from the museum and some of our Suffolk Site juniors enjoying playing with toys from the past. A heartfelt thank you to our amazing volunteers. What a wonderful time we had in Beccles at our annual volunteer thank you event. Each year we come together to celebrate the incredible dedication and hard work of our volunteers across Suffolk. The afternoon was a perfect way to show our appreciation for the people who give their time, energy and compassion to support Suffolk Site throughout the year. Guests enjoyed an afternoon of light refreshments, warm company and lovely live music provided for us by Roger Eno. It was an opportunity to relax together, share stories, and enjoy some well-deserved fun. We were also thrilled to be joined by local MP Jess Asato, who came along to thank our volunteers personally and recognise the amazing difference they make in our community. Jess said, "It was a real privilege to join Suffolk Site's volunteer celebration, and to thank those who give their time to support people living with sight loss. I am so grateful to the dedicated volunteers who are at the heart of this important charity." To every single one of our volunteers, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Your time, care and commitment mean the world to us, and we simply couldn't do what we do without you. And that was written by Agnieszka Jeffrey, our social club and volunteer coordinator. And there are two photographs on this page, one showing Arlette with Roger, who provided the musical entertainment, and also one of MP Jess Asato with Jeff and Meg. Stop. Mel on the move. Mel, one of our Access Tech advisors, loves the opportunity to attend exhibitions, meet developers and accessibility advocates, and find out about the latest technology for the visually impaired. Over the summer, Mel had the pleasure of attending two such events and wanted to share his experiences. First in the diary was a visit to London to find out more about the Glide device. This cutting-edge technology uses AI, robotics and sensors to guide a user through indoor and outdoor environments. The Glidant's founder and CEO, Amos Miller, lost his sight in his 20s due to retinitis pigmentosa, or RP, while getting his computer science degree, but he refused to let it hold him back. His team of engineers, researchers, designers and technologists are currently developing Glide, the world's first self-guided mobility aid. You can listen to Mel interviewing Amos over on our Facebook page. For more information about Glide, you can visit the Glidance website, which is glidance.io. And Glidance is spelt G-L-I-D-A-N-C-E. There's a photograph on this page which shows Mel with Amos, who is holding one of the Glide devices, and he's describing how it works. Mel took a second visit to London and visited the exhibition Touch Beyond Vision, Art You Can Feel, Stories You Can Touch. The exhibition was open to everyone, but especially crafted to enable people with low or no vision to access visual culture in a meaningful way. Over 20 tactile artworks of iconic images, figures and landmarks were created with 3D printing technology. Each exhibit included braille and audio description. Mel made his way around the exhibition, feeling the incredible displays, which included David Bowie and the Beatles. He was also able to create his own 3D image of his retired guide dog, Gus. And the photo on this page shows Mel feeling the display of the four members of the Beatles. Making voting accessible for everyone, an article from Baber and Mid-Suffolk Council. Every person should be able to register and vote at elections, and Suffolk's district and borough councils can help remove some of the accessibility barriers and challenges that people face when voting. If you or someone you know requires support to vote, you can contact your local council as they will be able to provide information about methods of voting and the equipment and facilities available at polling stations. If you require additional support or equipment, then the council can look at the adjustments that could be made to support you to cast your vote independently and in secret. Please contact your local council in advance of the election or call us for their details. The Suffolk District and Borough Councils are proud to be working with local organisations like Suffolk Sight to improve accessibility across the county. Their feedback helps us shape better services and ensure that voting is inclusive for all. If you have suggestions or would like to share your experience, your council would love to hear from you. Together, let's make Suffolk's elections open and accessible to everyone. And the photographs on this page show our team trying out some of the tactile voting devices that the local authorities are looking to purchase for the 2026 elections.
Access technology feature, Synaptic smartwatches. The first ever smartwatches specifically designed for sight loss. Smartwatches are wearable touchscreen devices that combine the features of a traditional watch with helpful tools for daily life, such as setting alarms, tracking health data, and staying connected through calls and messages. Many include accessibility features like voice feedback and magnification, but none until now have designed from the ground up with sight loss in mind. The new Synaptic watches change that, offering two models built specially for people with sight loss, the Light and the Plus. Both are simple talking watches with clear speech, large print, and high contrast colours, but each has its own strengths. Image above shows the classic display on the Synaptic watch. Synaptic Smartwatch Light, £149. The light version focuses on simplicity and ease of use. It speaks everything on screen, has bold, high contrast text, and over 40 large, clear watch faces to choose from. You can also adjust the colour scheme to suit your vision and even tell the time by touch using gentle vibration pulses. It includes everyday essentials like alarms, timers, and settings that are easy to navigate with simple swipes and taps. Image above shows the chunky display. Synaptic Smartwatch Plus, £299. The Plus version includes everything the Lite offers, but adds a range of advanced features for those who want to do a bit more. It tracks your steps, distance, heart rate, and fitness goals, and includes reminders, weather updates, and voice memos. What really sets the Plus apart is that it can make and receive calls and text messages completely independently. No smartphone required. It even comes with a free pre-installed SIM card loaded with £10 credit so you can get started straight away. There is also an SOS function for emergencies, providing extra peace of mind. Like the Light, it comes with a comfortable black strap as standard, but extra colourful straps that are available for adding that personal touch. Both Synaptic smartwatches are designed to make everyday life more accessible, practical and enjoyable. Whether you prefer something simple and fuss-free, or a watch that can help you stay connected and track your health, there is now a smart option designed with sight loss in mind. For more information, visit the Synaptic website or contact our office to request a demo. Call 01473 611011 or email info@suffolksight.org.uk.
Welcoming Brigitte to our team of trustees. I have recently joined Suffolk Sight as a trustee, but I first became aware of the charity over the last year when I suddenly lost my sight. I live alone and I do not accept help easily. The Suffolk Sight team helped me with practical things and advice on how I can live a productive life even after such changed circumstances. The team helped me to apply for PIP and subsidised transport. This help has made me feel so supported and encouraged to just get out there and live my best life. Suffolk Sight are an essential support for the sight impaired across Suffolk as advisors and a support pillar. Listening and friendly ears are offered with kindness, compassion, and in a really supportive way. I am proud to be part of Suffolk Sight and cannot wait to meet everyone and work with you all.
Sailing at Sunset. We are really disappointed, but totally understand that our sailing trips with the East Anglian Sailing Trust had to be cancelled this year. The weather was not on our side. We're pleased to report, though, that Jim, one of our beneficiaries and a devoted volunteer, had the opportunity to sail earlier in the summer. Jim loved the experience and said, "I've just had the most amazing evening sailing on the River Orwell. I am absolutely buzzing. And guess who was steering? Yep, me. And I didn't hit any other boats." We will endeavour to book some nicer weather when we arrange another sailing trip next year. And there's a lovely photo on this page showing Jim at the tiller sailing on the River Orwell. My Love of Art by John Poole. After 37 years of teaching art to adults and young people, I retired in 1999 and had a heart attack 6 months later. In the ensuing years, my sight started to deteriorate, and in 2015, I was registered severely sight impaired. Glaucoma and optical nutritional syndrome have now left me virtually colourblind and with very little sight. After the loss of my wife, reflecting on life, I began to ask myself the question, if Beethoven could write music when deaf, what could I do with my own artistic abilities, although obviously limited? Through trial and error, with at times exasperation and also much patience, by restricting my choice of media, I was able to produce artwork that sighted people regarded as acceptable. This artwork is the result of a very small visual recall, motor activity, guesswork, and luck. Of course, one also needs support with everyday things, and in this respect, Suffolk Sight have been most helpful. For example, providing me with assistance to set up my television and offering encouragement and inspiration to pursue my passion for art. Without exaggeration, I regard continued involvement with art as my act of defiance against sight loss and old age, and I would encourage anyone experiencing restricted vision to do similarly. If you have a particular hobby or activity you enjoy, do all that you can to continue with it. Don't let sight loss deny you the pleasure and fulfillment you derive from it. If any members share a similar interest in art and would like any advice or simply conversation on the subject, I can be contacted through Suffolk Sight and will be only too happy to help in any way I can. And there's a photograph here of one of John's paintings, which is of a tree in a landscape.
Looking ahead, Suffolk Sight's Looking Ahead Emotional Support is a unique service which offers short-term confidential telephone counselling. This enables our beneficiaries to speak to someone in confidence, helping them explore their feelings, develop crucial coping strategies, and improve their mental well-being. We continue to work hard to develop and improve our service, and we always welcome feedback from beneficiaries who have used it. The following feedback is from a recent service user. "I found the counsellor to be extremely sensitive and understanding. Having someone to talk through issues that have built up over years relating to sight loss has been invaluable, and providing new insight on my feelings has been inspiring. I feel as though I have discovered so many useful coping strategies to work on and have gained a clearer understanding of how my brain works. Bottom line is that I feel so much more positive about my life now and the future. I still have a lot to work through, but feel I have made a good start thanks to these sessions. They also liked the adaptability, being able to explore new areas as they arose, and felt that there was a real sense of understanding that all feelings are valid and nothing to be ashamed of. Our Suffolk Sight community workers have also told us about the service. The beneficiary was much more upbeat and couldn't praise the service enough. The beneficiary sounded very positive during the latest check-in. When we received feedback showing the positive outcomes and how our service has helped so many beneficiaries over the past 5 years, it shows how valuable and in demand the service is. We could not continue offering the service without the help of funding, grants, and donations. If you would like to make a donation to the Suffolk Sight Emotional Support Service, please contact our office for more details. Once again, we thank you for all your continued support."
Celebrating Kevin joining our team of volunteer ambassadors. We're delighted to announce Kevin as our newest volunteer ambassador, a well-deserved recognition for someone who truly embodies the spirit of our charity. Kevin has become an essential part of our team, from his role as co-leader of the Berry Club to providing tech support for our beneficiaries and even helping with transport at the Haverhill Club. Kevin is always ready to lend a hand wherever it's needed. What makes Kevin truly special is the way he connects with everyone. The members absolutely adore him. His warmth, patience, and sense of humour brighten every club he's part of. His reliability, kindness, and leadership shine through in everything he does. Kevin's energy and commitment have inspired both new and long-standing volunteers alike. Watching his growth over the past years from a dedicated helper to a true leader has been nothing short of remarkable. We're so proud to have Kevin as one of the shining stars of our charity family, an incredible example of what teamwork and compassion look like in action. We can't wait to see all the great things he'll continue to do. And there's a lovely photo here of Kevin on this page. Junior Ambassador update from Oliver. Since my last newsletter report, quite a lot has happened. I attended a charity event in Great Waldingfield Village Hall. Everyone had a great time enjoying music from Dan McClelland. Meanwhile, on a lovely sunny Sunday afternoon in Bury St Edmunds, I attended a charity football match. It was a very exciting game. It was also great to meet the other members and volunteers at Suffolk Site. I've enjoyed lots of activities with the Suffolk Site juniors, including drama, writing letters to the children in Kenya, learning Braille, and swimming at a local pool. I've also been doing some work experience with Suffolk Site, which involved talking to the Red Gables Lunch Club, visiting the Pakenham Group, and listening to their members discussing their interesting lives. I visited the Tower Street office to be shown some of the administration work and counted some of the donation tins. It has been interesting to see what Suffolk Site does and the ideas that I can take forward as junior ambassador. Special thanks to Amanda for showing me round. And there's a photograph on this page here of Oliver and one of our new volunteers, Irene, taken at the Pakenham Group. West Suffolk Hospital. The Voice Network at West Suffolk Hospital is a group of individuals and representatives from charities and local groups who provide patient feedback to help improve services. Members get involved in decisions about the Trust's developments, have opportunities to influence the new hospital building design, and can participate in quarterly meetings and role-specific discussions. Colin Presland, one of our fantastic volunteer ambassadors, represents Suffolk Site on the Voice panel. If you would like to get involved or tell us about your experiences at West Suffolk Hospital, please get in touch.
This is a report on Stargardt's disease by Indraj Hanspal. I'm a consultant ophthalmologist and clinical partner at New Medica Suffolk. Stargardt's disease is a rare inherited eye condition that causes progressive vision loss, especially in the central vision. It is the most common form of juvenile macular degeneration, typically beginning in childhood or adolescence, though it can also appear in adulthood. Causes. It's caused by mutations in the ABCA4 gene. This gene helps remove waste from the retina. When it doesn't work properly, fatty deposits called lipofuscin develop in the macula, the central part of the retina, damaging the light-sensitive cells. It is usually inherited in an autosomal recessive pattern, meaning both parents must carry the faulty gene for it to be passed on. Symptoms are gradual loss of vision in both eyes, blurry or distorted vision, dark grey or hazy spots in the center of the vision, a sensitivity to light, which is also called photophobia, difficulty in adjusting between light and dark environments, color vision problems or color blindness, and peripheral side vision usually remains intact. Diagnosis. Eye doctors may use several tests, such as a dilated eye exam to look for yellowish flecks of lipofuscin on the retina, photographs of the fundus to capture images of the retina, optical coherence tomography, also called OCT, to get detailed images of the retinal layers, electroretinography, also called ERT, to test how the retina responds to light, and finally, genetic testing to confirm the mutations in the ABCA4 gene. Treatment and management. No cure currently exists, but visual aids like magnifiers or special glasses can help. Vision rehabilitation programs teach strategies to make the most of the remaining vision, and protecting eyes from UV light, e.g. wearing sunglasses, may help slow progression. Clinical trials are ongoing, including studies on medications like oral metformin, which is used for diabetes, as well as drugs that are based on vitamin D to alter how it's processed in the retina. There are also gene therapy trials that are being conducted to help correct the gene mutation or restore its function. Living with Stargardt's disease. Most people do not go completely blind. Maintaining peripheral vision helps with mobility and independence. Emotional support and counseling can help manage the psychological impact of vision loss.
My experience of retinitis pigmentosa by Michael Peake. Hello, my name is Michael Peake. I'm a trustee of Suffolk Sight, and I have an eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa, or RP. In the last newsletter, I read Raj Hanspal's explanation of RP and thought perhaps you would like to hear my experience of the condition. When I was young, a long time ago, I joined the police force as a special constable, a position I held for 15 years. However, one night whilst out on patrol, I noticed my night vision was not as good as usual, and in fact, it soon disappeared altogether. As a lot of police work is done at night, I had to resign from the force. It was not long before tunnel vision reared its ugly head and slowly progressed until it began to create problems with my daytime work. As I was a high-speed wood-cutting machine operator, I realised I was becoming a danger to myself and the people I worked with, so I had to resign from that job too. I applied for lots of other work, but no one was willing to employ me. I was only 48 at the time, and never having been out of work, found this very hard to accept. However, I was most fortunate as I had a very loving, caring, and understanding wife who supported me all the way. The tunnel vision has got much worse recently, and it could close up altogether, something I am not looking forward to. But with Suffolk Sight and all their experienced staff to help me, I can try to live as normal a life as possible, knowing I can call on them at any time. I now have a very full social calendar. I enjoy playing bowls and going along to our social club in Lowestoft. One of the highlights of the year is the Lions Family Fun Day, held at the end of August. I am tasked with finding and filling my spare room with cuddly toys for our tombola. So you see, there is still life and light at the end of the tunnel. Oops, sorry about that. But whatever we do, we must maintain a sense of humour. And there's a photograph here of Michael at this year's Lions Family Fun Day, along with the Lions mascot in front of our gazebo. Charles Bonnet Syndrome Group. It's now over a year since Suffolk Sight's Charles Bonnet Syndrome Group started, and it's pleasing to report that within this time, the core number of participants has grown from 6 to 15. During the regular sessions, members have generously shared their particular experiences and circumstances around the condition to the great benefit of all taking part. On two occasions, the group received input from outside speakers, including a member of Esme's Umbrella, a charity dedicated to supporting people experiencing CBS, and also one of our trustees, Dr. Hanspal, who kindly offered some professional advice on the condition. Given that members of the group live across Suffolk, meetings are conducted monthly over the telephone in the form of a conference call. As members have got to know each other, friendships have grown, and some have exchanged numbers to talk further outside the group. Similarly, back in July this year, some members were able to meet in person for the first time, which proved to be a happy and pleasurable experience for all. So much so, in fact, that it is hoped that some members may once again be able to meet up towards the end of the year. The Charles Bonnet Support Group meet at 1 to 2pm on the final Wednesday of each month. Suffolk Site Walking Group. Our Suffolk Site Walking Group launched in April this year and has been a great success. Therefore, we are delighted to announce that we will be continuing it in 2026. The group is led by experienced walker and Suffolk Site trustee Steve Giddings. It is aimed at people who like to walk longer distances and enjoy the outdoors whilst being in the safety of an organised group. Dates and locations for next year will be as follows. 1st of April, Debenham. 6th of May, Ickworth Estate. 3rd of June, Felixstowe. 1st of July, Woodbridge. 5th of August, Knowton Park in Bury St Edmunds. 2nd of September, at Claydon. And the 7th of October, in Dunwich. Walks all start at 10:30 a.m. and are approximately 2 to 5 miles in length. Transport is available from the nearest bus or train station.
Healthwatch Suffolk. If you're living with a visual impairment in Suffolk, please take a moment to share your experiences in a local survey. Healthwatch Suffolk, your local health and social care champion, wants to know what it's like to use local NHS or social care services and what could make life easier for you locally. Your feedback will help Healthwatch to influence standards of accessible care and support from the NHS and social care services. Please take part before the 31st of January 2026. How to take part now? The survey is open to everyone in Suffolk who is over the age of 16 and living with a visual impairment that glasses cannot fully correct. You can phone Healthwatch Suffolk on free phone 0800 448 8234 and request a paper copy of the survey that can be returned to Healthwatch by free post. Alternatively, you can complete the survey over the phone with one of the Healthwatch team. If, when you call, you receive the answer phone, please leave a message and someone will return your call. This survey is part of a campaign from Healthwatch Suffolk called Your Care, Your Way. The campaign aims to raise awareness of people's rights to accessible information, care and support from health and social care services. It is also encouraging services to check how well they are meeting people's needs.
Outreach across the county. We will continue our monthly drop-in sessions with our community workers at Lowestoft and Newmarket. Our team will be available to give personalised advice and support, including daily living and independence, aids and adaptations, low vision, magnification and assistive reading, with referrals to our low vision specialist where appropriate, financial matters, benefits, grants and concessions, tech solutions, gadget advice and demonstrations, social opportunities and befriending service, advice about services that can help you get out and about safely. Our Lowestoft venue is the Disability Advice North East Suffolk, and they are at 161 Rotterdam Road in Lowestoft, NR32 2EZ, and our team are there on the second Tuesday of the month on the following dates: the 9th of December, 13th of January, 10th of February, 10th of March, 14th of April, and the 12th of May. And the time there is between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. In Newmarket, we meet at Brampton Manor Care Home, and that's on the Fordham Road in Newmarket, postcode CB87AQ. And we meet in the lounge area on the ground floor. Our team will be available there on the second Wednesday of each month on the following dates: the 10th of December, the 14th of January, the 11th of February, the 11th of March, the 8th of April, and the 13th of May. And the time there is from 10:30 a.m. till 12 noon. For more information about any of the drop-in sessions, please call 01473 611 011 or email info@suffolksite.org.uk.
Now, the East Anglian Beer and Cider Festival returns to St. Edmundsbury Cathedral next week, and this year it marks a milestone. There'll be a blind person working behind the bar, and it's believed he'll be the first person to do so. Luke Deal has gone to find out more for us. Let's cross to Bury St. Edmunds. Good morning, Luke.
Wayne, hello. Morning to you. Yes, we're in the car park of the cathedral right in the heart of Bury this morning. The stage is already set in the car park where the staff usually park their vehicles. We've got a huge marquee on the green in front of us. And, of course, inside the cathedral is where all the beer is at the moment. Well, with me this morning is Kevin Ramsey, who's a volunteer with Suffolk Site, who's going to be pulling those pints, and also Jeff Staff, who's the chair of the trustees of Suffolk Site. Hello, gentlemen. Morning to you. Kevin, let's start with you. So how did this all come about then? You pulling pints with no sight?
Well, I do a lot for Suffolk Site, and we've done a winter warmer for the Bury VIPs for Suffolk Site. It's a vision pair group, and we said we want to raise some money. So they said, well, why don't we do a winter warmer? So I said, well, can I help serve with that? Because I said about doing it for this, and they just sort of like, don't know whether you're going to be able to do it or not. I said, well, can we give it a go so I can have a go at it? So it ended up that I was able to be able to, you know, serve the beers.
So how do you go about serving the beers when you can't see?
So with Jeff, we sort of like sussed it out so we could do like level indicators for the level of the beers, but because when the beers get a throth on them, it set the indicators off. So when we decided to pour the beers, Jeff turned around and said, well, if I count you in of 3, 2, 1 and then stop, then you know you've got your third of your pint or your half a pint or your pint. So that's how we come to sort of like manage it, so we was able to do it.
So how many dummy runs did you have to do to get it spot on?
I've done a shift at the Hayville Beer Festival. I've done 5 hours there. And then the winter warmer, we was there for about 5 hours doing that as well.
So, Jeff, how did he get on?
He did absolutely brilliantly, as you can imagine. A person who has experienced sight loss has a much better awareness of their space around them. Kevin is absolutely amazing. If you park him in a particular spot, you make sure he touches everything, so he knows his space around him. He gets to learn where the barrels are. He can also sense when somebody is approaching him. So if somebody's coming up, and this is the thing we notice when we're at Haverhill, somebody came up with a glass in their hand. Kevin spotted it before I did, or knew he was coming before I did. He knew a customer wanted a pint of beer. So he's fantastic at learning the space around him. And within a very short space of time, he knows how to serve somebody, and he's just brilliant with people. He's fantastic. The other thing that he's really saying he can do this time is, because he learnt at the Haverhill one, that the 3-2-1, he can work out by the sheer weight, volume and everything else within the glass. He believes that he can serve a third, a half and a pint without me counting it down. So that's our challenge for the next 6 days.
Once I get used to it, I think I would be able to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. This is the one thing about Kevin, and the one thing I've always noticed about anybody who experiences sight loss, they have the opinion that they believe they can do it. And what we've got to convince ourselves, fully sighted people, is yes, they can. And it was only when we saw Chris McCausland do Strictly Come Dancing that Kevin and I started talking about it. He said, look, I really want to be involved. And then I said, well, we've got to find out how we can get him involved. We have to think much more creatively about the solution whereby Kevin can serve beer at a beer festival. And when he succeeded at Haverhill, we said, well, I don't think there's any real challenge here apart from learning the new space here at the cathedral. Once he's learned that, he'll be whizzing. The great thing is the punters love it too.
Yeah.
So they like that experience. They cannot believe it. You know, there's a buzz around Kevin. He's a fantastic person, fantastic ambassador for Suffolk Site. The amount of people he's helped over the years, over the last thing, with their smart devices, phones, tablets, etc., incredible.
I mean, you've got going to be working in a big space inside that cathedral over the next few days. Also, you're doing around 30 hours of pulling pints. Are you apprehensive?
No, I think I'll be fine. That's a good experience, and I just want to, you know, be able to prove that we can do it, and, you know, so it helps other people that see if they can do it.
Have you learnt the space? Have you been inside the cathedral to find your bearings,
yeah,
so to speak?
Yeah, we went in there yesterday and we had a look around yesterday to see how the kegs are laid out and the pumps and everything like that. So, yeah, we've had a look at the bar that we're going to be on.
And excited about doing it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a big experience for, you know, being involved with a beer festival, you know. It's a lot on your shoulders when you're doing stuff for Suffolk Site and the beer festival, because they've all got confidence in you.
And you're doing this, aren't you, purely for charity reasons as well?
Yeah, it's all done for charity, yeah. Yeah, all done for Suffolk Site. That's all I do it for.
I mean, you've got to be admired for doing it and having the courage and the guts to do it.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to. Well, if you don't do it, you may as well give up.
And Jeff, are people patient when they're waiting at the bar to be served?
They're extremely patient. I think the experience is also special for them. I think that's the point. They enjoy the experience of being served by Kevin. He's a lovely man. As I say, he can engage with people on a very, very human level, superbly. And they just take the time. They allow in the space and time to serve him. But saying that, by the time we reached the 5 hours at the end of the Haverhill Beer Festival, he was as fast as anybody else serving. The only thing he can't do is obviously take any form of payment. And that's where we buddy up together. And we also have a colleague and friend who's joining us who will also help buddy up. But the serving of the beer will be done by Kevin.
Okay, well, the proof is in the pudding. We'll find out how he gets on pulling a pint in the next hour of the programme when we go inside the cathedral to see Kevin at work. We're here in the heart of the cathedral this morning, and all the lights are on. The service begins just after 8:30, and we're standing in front of the kegs. And Kevin is standing to my right-hand side, and Paul Cooper, who's the festival organiser, is on my left-hand side. And Kevin has a pint glass in his hand. But the first thing we have to stress, isn't it, Kevin, is that you're not actually going to be pouring any beer into that glass.
Not at the moment, because the beers are not being tapped or anything like that, so we're just doing practice runs at the moment just to make sure that it all works right for us.
So tell us then how this all came about and why you wanted to serve at the beer festival.
Well, I'd done a winter warmer at the Old Cannon Brewery for Suffolk Site, and I said, you know, can I get involved with help pouring the drinks for that? And then so they ummed and ahed over it, and we sort of like said, yeah, okay, we can have a go. They see that I got on really well with it, and then I said, well, you know, is it possible to do the beer festival? Because they're always asking for volunteers, and they went, well, we'll see what happens. So, but I think they had a chat behind the backgrounds, and hopefully now it's all worked. I'm here now doing it.
And are you excited about having the opportunity to serve at the beer festival?
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. You know, it's going to be a big event. You know, it's a big event for Bury St Edmunds as well, as you know, as well as everybody organising it.
So, have you found your feet? Because you've got a lot of kegs
there's a lot of kegs behind us. Yeah.
And they've all got, obviously, their names on, from Barsham to Brains to Church End and Bowlers and that. How do you know which is where?
Well, I think when we start doing it, we're going to segregate the kegs off. So, I'll only be sort of like looking after 12 kegs, something like that, might be a bit more, but once I get to know the layout of where the kegs are, you know, of the names, it should be fine.
How long will it take to familiarise yourself with them?
Probably about the first shift, I would have thought, get to know where they are, because there's a lot of, you know, drinks are passed across in them 5 hours today that I'm doing it, so you should get to know where them amount are.
And when did you lose your sight?
About 7 years ago. Might be a bit less than that, but probably about 7 years.
And how long did it take you to adjust to your new way of life following the loss of your sight?
Well, I knew that I was losing my sight from a young age. They found that I was losing my sight from six. So I sort of like started preparing myself for later on. So everything I do now is all been practiced over the years. So, you know, it's what you can do as you start altering it, as you start losing your sight. But, you know, a lot of people, if they lose their sight, it's a big shock to them, and they haven't had that preparation. But because I knew that mine was deteriorating ever so slowly, I sort of like prepared myself for later on. And it's paying off, because I'm now here doing the beer festival.
Okay, so you've got that empty glass in your hand.
Yep.
So how does this work then? Tell me how you're going to be able to pour this pint of water to start off with, and how you're going to know when it gets to the top.
Yep, so Jeff will be telling me like where the actual pumps, the names of the pumps are, and he'll say, right, you want a pint from this one. So straight under with the glass, pull a pint, and then it will be like two pulls for half a pint.
Okay.
And then, but with the kegs, it's Jeff will do 3, 2, 1 when to stop. So he'll know that it's up to a third, and then turn around, put the beer on the counter for the person.
And Jeff, this is multitasking at its best, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is, yeah, and that's something that Kevin's very, very good at. He's learned how to multitask in all his environments he works in. Incredible speed of being able to catch on to how he does stuff. It's quite astounding and quite amazing. And very heartwarming to see someone, you know, who can stand in a particular space, which is relatively small, with lots of obstacles in the way. And within a short space of time, his visual awareness will tell him exactly where those kegs are.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've noticed in the last time we did a quick test at the Haverhill Beer Festival, he learns the names far faster than I do. He can visualise exactly where they are. When I have a customer come up to me and ask for Pilgrim's Pale Ale, I have to ask, well, where's that? He knows exactly where it is because he's learned it. He's visualised in his mind. He has the layout of those beers in his mind virtually instantly. Doesn't take him any time at all. As long as I tell him where they are, he knows where they are.
That's Jeff Starr from the trustees of the Suffolk Sight charity, which is having money raised for it at the beer festival. Paul Cooper is the festival organiser. I mean, this is a first, isn't it?
It is. It is a first. We've had lots of firsts in Bury St Edmunds, the first post-COVID beer festival, first beer festival in the cathedral, and now the first beer festival with a blind server. So absolutely excellent. And the festival is about charity. We raise money here for charity over the last 4 years. We've raised in excess of £100,000 for local charities and good causes. And Kevin is the proof in the pudding. In the eating, he's taken on board the beer festival. Suffolk Sight have had donations from us to help fund his training and rehabilitation. And together, we've got a team. Works well.
How well do you think you'll go down with the customers?
I think there's going to be a big queue at this bar. I'm going to be at the front of it.
I'm going to hold you to that because I shall be here tomorrow lunchtime.
We'll have a pint together.
We'll make you open at 12 o'clock. And Kevin, how are you feeling? Because, I mean, you're going to have a dummy run tonight when it's a soft opening, but tomorrow is the first full day of the beer festival. It runs until Monday.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, fine. I think I should cope pretty well with it, to be honest. Well, I hope so anyway, but, you know, it should be a good turnout and a good laugh, hopefully.
And have you got a favourite pint behind you?
I don't mind a bit the old Bishop's Finger, so, which is nice.
Okay, on that note, we'll leave it there. Kevin, thank you very much indeed. That's Kevin Ramsey there, who's a volunteer with the Suffolk Sight charity. They're raising money here at the Beer Festival, and it runs until Monday. Doors open tomorrow lunchtime at 12 and a soft opening tonight.